God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Incidentally, if I sound sick, I'm really not sick. I get a seasonal allergy. Strangest thing to get an allergy during the winter. So just to avoid the need for prayers, because people are so kind, I'm fine, but I might not be as mentally sharp as I normally am. If I ever am, maybe I'm not. Can I just ask you to imagine that you and I, well, we're going to meet the Lord Jesus in person. He's with us now, of course. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. But one day we'll stand again with him. Those of us who've accepted him as our Lord and our Savior, who live our lives that way, are going to be changed by him. We're given the opportunity to grow ever closer to him and even more like him. Just imagine standing with him as he asks you a question. What did your earthly life mean? What did it mean? And then he affords you the opportunity to look back and decide what it meant. What does it mean? The search for meaning is something that the enemy has been so good at co-opting. Satan cannot create. He cannot love or experience charity. He has a very limited tool set, and he has perfected its use. For those of us who serve the Lord Jesus, there's very little he can do to us. We are able to channel God's power to resist that. Those of us indwelled with the Holy Spirit are harder to con, harder to bully, particularly when we stand in firm victory with confidence in Christ. The demons flee from that, and yet there are these tricks. The devil, of course, masquerades as an angel of light. So does politics. Politics masquerades as an angel of light, simply about doing the people's will in our democracy, which is a republic, but why quibble about the details? The search for meaning is being used by the enemy in ways multiple. Some of them are more clear than others. Boeing, yeah, an airline maker. I mean, look, there are the brute facts that Boeing apparently is doing everything they can to forestall important infrastructure investments and important investments in safety. But that's just purely mathematical. It's purely finance. In a discussion with a friend of mine, Zach Abraham, he's a chief investment officer for a company called Bulwark Capital Management, in my podcast today, which you can get at thetoddhermanshow.com or wherever you get podcasts. It's live. It's sitting there right now. Months ago, Zach warned us about Boeing because they simply looked at the stock. Why is it so high? Is it performance? Perhaps they're doing better than they thought. When Zach and his team actually spoke with people at Boeing and contractors to Boeing and licensed contractors and people who are working around them, they came back with something alarming. Boeing was doing the equivalent of what we would be doing if we had a bad roof. Let's say part of our roof was leaking, so we just threw a tarp up there. Eventually, you're going to need an entirely new roof. Boeing didn't want to spend that money because they wanted to make the stock look good. Now, we have yet another incident with one of their airplanes where a door blew off, 170 planes are grounded. But how is this about a search for meaning? Isn't being an engineer meaningful? Isn't building airplanes that carry people hopefully safely, isn't that a meaningful job? Well, it used to be. And in a way, it still is. It's vitally important to our economy and for people getting to get home to see loved ones and to the way the modern world works, but it's not enough. Boeing has split its headquarters around the country, but they still make a good number of airplanes in a city where God is hated. Absolutely despised, loathed, or people have been caused to believe he doesn't exist, and that's in the Seattle area, which is a fallen pagan state just like any other in history. But the search for meaning persists. There is a gentleman who is a, I would say, former academic. He's still an academic, but he's no longer allowed in a feat in gentlemanly circles of the elite academics. His name is James Lindsay. He took a look at Boeing and their SEC filings and found out that they appear to have replaced their focus on safety with something else: diversity, equity, and inclusion, or what I call diversion, exclusion, and insanity. This is about hiring people not because they are qualified, but because they have very, very special skin of a very special shade. Very special. Or they are suitably same-sex attracted or confused about their gender. In that case, that's a big hire. In fact, they have changed the bonus structure for their big executives from safety, it seems, to DEI. Up to 40% of the executive's potential pay in an annual incentive pay program is tied into hitting DEI targets. But they didn't just mandate DEI at Boeing, it also prioritized something called ESG, Environment, Social Justice, and Governance, and not just within Boeing, but to their contractors. ESG is a way of replacing mathematics, what does our spreadsheet say, with feelings. Do we feel we have meaning? Are we doing something meaningful? Well, yes, yes. Spoken in the parlance of Seattleites, this is the parlance of Seattleites, we're helping the blacks because they need extra help at their jobs. That's just the language of Seattleites. They don't see it as racist. It's obviously brutally racist. If we were in the clouds in heaven with God, with Jesus, and he said, what did your life mean? And you said, well, Lord, I worked at an airplane company. We built incredible airplanes. And we hired people who had dark skin. Do you love them more than others? Do I love them more than others? Is it a favor to take people who are not qualified and insert them in positions where their presence, their disqualifying presence, could cause accidents like this? I am not saying that an employee of color, to use the nomenclature of the left, caused this. I'm saying a culture that values meaning, though false, on one hand with DEI, and false financial statements, on the other hand, by forestalling important investments, is a culture on one hand worshiping money in the form of stock price, and on the other hand worshiping their feelings rather than worshiping meaning in God. This extends far beyond the world of airplanes. The media, in talking about the war in Israel, the war that we're funding both sides of, for we fund Hamas and we fund Israel, making us arms dealers, effectively. A climate reporter, climate justice reporter, Nina Lakhani, has written that Israel is destroying the globe. No, not with weapons. No, with the climate catastrophe. She writes, climate consequences, including sea level rise, drought, and extreme heat, were already threatening water supplies and food security in what she calls Palestine. The environmental situation in Gaza is now catastrophic, as much as the farmland, energy, and water infrastructure has been destroyed or polluted with devastating health implications, probably for decades to come. I don't know that this climate justice reporter is aware of the fact that Hamas stole pipes that were sent to that area that she calls Palestine to provide irrigation and drinking water to the people. And instead, Hamas stole them and used them to build missile launchers in a search for meaning. Oh, Hamas has meaning. It's just the meaning of death and the meaning of serving the enemy's desire. So the search for meaning is not just there. It's also in the San Francisco Board of Directors. The San Francisco Board of Directors finally decided to step up and become problem solvers. And this is great news because there's a lot of people who need meaning laying around the streets of San Francisco with flesh-eating diseases. These are children of, well, these are people created by God who should become children of God. It's our responsibility to draw them back into the family, to let God work through us to do that. But again, imagining we're in heaven with the Lord Jesus and he says, what was the meaning of your life? someone on the San Francisco Board of Directors could say, Lord, as a San Francisco leader, the Board of Supervisors, I voted to have a ceasefire in the war in Israel and what we call Palestine. And the Lord could say, fine, war's ugly. I wept. What did you do with the role I gave you to steward as the member of a board of supervisors in San Francisco, California? See, it's not enough meeting for them. Actually dealing with the crisis at hand in that city is not enough meeting. Break-ins at record highs, overdoses at record highs, rapes at record highs, people sleeping on the streets and dying on the streets on a regular basis. Not enough meaning. It has to be global. We voted. Bibi Netanyahu is not going to listen to the Board of Supervisors of a city in the United States, even if it's San Francisco, nor should he. The search for meaning continues. There's a whistleblower who has come out. He had to. He went to Baylor University. He was at Texas Children's. His name is Dr. Ethan Haim. He spoke with Christopher Rufo, fantastic guy in the culture war, Rufo. He spoke with Christopher Rufo about why he came out and talked about these secret procedures being done at Texas Children's Hospital to chemically and surgically mutilate the sexual organs of children and to mutilate their minds. Wrong sex hormones will drop a kid's IQ points or by about 10% and create a whole series of issues for the rest of their life. He talked about this because he had to. And why did he have to? Because armed federal agents came to his house and accused him of violating HIPAA laws as a whistleblower. What department were they with? I said armed federal agents. So certainly the FBI, right? No. No, Health and Human Services. Health and Human Services is run by a man who's insane. He has no touch with reality. He's a man who pretends to be a woman. He's living in psychoses. And he gets to direct people with badges and guns to go after doctors for showing that the law was being broken. So, as I said, a doctor who discovered Texas Children's Hospital was apparently doing secret sexual mutilation of kids spoke to Christopher Rufo as to why they do that.
I think what they get out of it is meaning. And I think meaning is so important because it's one of those things that every human strives towards, right? We want to find meaning in our lives because we want our lives to have meant something. But as we've seen in the past few years, people want that without the work required to do anything meaningful. They want to be righteous without the difficulty of acting in a moral and virtuous way. They want to be able to speak up and speak out for people who are, oppressed, but they don't want to put themselves in a position where they really have to challenge something powerful. So I think that when you have this abandonment of these traditional Western moral values, it's going to be filled by a void that can be taken up by anything. And in this case, people are looking for something that will fill that void, and the transgender ideology is what has filled it. But the most unfortunate thing is that the consequences of that is the future of these kids, because the future that we had.
appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We started the program by talking about how Satan is using search for meaning in one of his classic tricks, which is to take good and use it for evil. It's a good thing that we search for meaning in our lives. It's a good thing, better, when we find that meaning is to allow God to work through us to bring others back into the family, because nothing is more meaningful than eternity, and nothing in the world, nothing you will ever experience will mean more than eternity, an eternal choice. So, of course, our meaning is to help people come to the correct choice, and that correct choice is for God. But we talked about the meaning of being an engineer, the way of Boeing, and that failed. It's a company that's failing. It's failing on all the focus areas. It's no longer about safety. It's about hiring people with the correct melanin levels and incentivizing the executive team up to 40% of their pay is to make sure that they hire people with the correct skin color or sexual orientation. That cannot be sustained. It feels like meaning, and it does mean something. It means lying. And it means being cruel to people by putting them in jobs that they do not, that they cannot perform well. It can mean death to others who've not yet accepted the Lord. Only by the grace of God did these 250 or so people live through their airplane having a door blow out. We talked about the search for meaning in the San Francisco Board of Supervisors that doesn't have anything to do other than vote for ceasefire arrangements in Israel. That's not going to happen because the Board of Supervisors said so, but they could help people there. And then we talked about the search for meaning in the words of a doctor who is a whistleblower now, Dr. Dr. Ethan Hame, is a whistleblower, spoke to Christopher Rufo about the secret sexual mutilation procedures Texas Children's was doing to children. And he said that so many of the doctors are involved in that because they're seeking meaning. We, those of us who have our meaning firmly in trying to do God's will here, I think we look at these things and say, but how could that be meaningful? And yet it is. Satan is allowing these doctors to see their work in the bodies of children. Look what you have done. You rescued that little boy trapped in a girl's body. And I fully believe when those doctors faced the Lord Jesus, if he were to ask, what was the meaning of your life on earth? They would say, well, Lord, I rescued children who were trapped in the wrong body. And they would be looking in the very eyes of the Lord who created those children. And he might say to them, oh, I got it wrong. Chilling to me. It really is. Aaron Rodgers, this guy I don't know, there's a host on ESPN I don't know named Pat McAfee. Never met him. That doesn't mean he's not famous. I'm sure he's incredibly famous and incredibly talented. Never meet either gentleman. I've watched Aaron Rodgers play football. Most people have. 4 Super Bowl rings. Amazing athlete now. An older athlete trying to keep it going now at the Jets from the Green Bay Packers. I know that much. I also know that Aaron Rodgers was called vicious names and was in fact said to be almost kicked out of the NFL because he refused to inject his body with the modified RNA gene sequencing devices called COVID vaccines. They're not vaccines, that's for sure. They're definitely gene sequencing devices. So Aaron Rodgers chose to rely on his God-given natural immunity, and he chose to speak out against the injections. Well, they can't have that. Aaron Rodgers has been a regular guest on a program with this gentleman named Pat McAfee. No more. He's gone now. He can't do that anymore. See, he had gotten into a media tussle with a guy named Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is a television comedian whose meaning, well, I don't know. I don't know Jimmy. But I do know that during COVID, his meaning was to get you injected and to shame people who wouldn't. That appeared to provide him great meaning. Oh, and money. So this NFL quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, had spoken verboten truth, and ESPN has canceled his regular appearances on Pat McAfee's show.
So going in, we knew that we potentially ruffled some feathers in about 3 to 5 professions that have a lot of power and a lot of say. And we understood it. We completely understood it. I coming into this. And over the last week, we have certainly given them all a lot of stuff to get mad about. And Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He's a four-time MVP. He's a massive piece of the NFL story. Whenever you go back and tell it, he will be a huge part of it. We are very lucky to get a chance to chat with him and learn from him. Some of his thoughts and opinions, though, do. And I'm pumped that that is no longer going to be every single Wednesday of my life, which it has been for the last few weeks. On Friday, obviously, I threw us into the fire as well. Forever stand by that. Everything else, though, like, just can't do that and not what we want to be known for.
So that's a host defending and appearing to be happy, thrilled, that Aaron Rodgers is no longer in his program. Now, again, I don't know Pat McAfee, and I'm sure he's wildly famous and wildly talented, and I'm sure it's a fantastic show about sports. And Aaron Rodgers is more famous than he is. Well, that's just factual. Aaron Rodgers is known worldwide. When you have a regular guest who is more famous than you are, who comes on to add to your show, the numbers speak. People tune into that day to see Aaron Rodgers, and they get exposed to Pat McAfee. And maybe they look at it and go, wow, this guy's funny, or whatever he is. The meaning of a man who speaks words into a microphone to a vast audience. Again, I'm just imagining that when Pat McAfee stands at the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus says, what was the meaning of your life on earth? Well, Lord, I spoke about football and baseball and I entertained people and sometimes I spoke truth to power occasionally when it wasn't too powerful. Again, I don't know Pat McAfee. I don't want to bear false witness. I am imagining. And I could hear people saying, hey, guy with a national radio show on AFR, I stay home and I care for my kids. Are you telling me I'd have a challenge standing before the Lord to talk about the meaning of my life? No. No, I'm not. In fact, if you are classically, it's the mothers who stay home, and I believe that was God's design. If you stood before the Lord Jesus and he said, what was the meaning of your life? And you were to say, my children, my family, my home, my neighbors. I could just see the Lord welling up in tears, saying, well done. Well done. Why was that the case? Why were they your meaning? Well, Lord, you loved us first. Look at all you did for us. Look at how you came for us when we were lost. Look at the whippings that you went through because of us. Look at the feeling you had on the cross of just for a brief moment, feeling what it was to be without the Father. Just that's why. No, it's not about big things. There are no big things. In an eternal sense, you think of a president of a country, even the country our size, who were to stand with the Lord Jesus and say, what was the meaning? The Lord said, what was the meaning of your life? I led a powerful nation. Did you? For how long? 8 years. What was the meaning of that? Well, we passed some legislation and we, did you speak my word? Did you allow me to work through you to bring people to me? Were you humble? Was the meaning of your life legislation? What of your family? If I imagine being questioned by Jesus in that way, it makes me shudder because he could say the same to me. What was the meaning of your life? He may ask all of us, maybe not. It is, after all, just something we're imagining. Meaning has allowed Satan to take the public health world and utterly capture it. And it doesn't matter that there are great doctors and nurses in all hospitals everywhere. That's just a fact. People get into those professions to help, and they're there. But their systems have been so captured. Listen to this headline. Scientists warn heating your home could be responsible for a rise in deadly blood clots. Do you believe that? Based upon just that article, that's just that headline. Do you believe any of that? Probably not. We've been heating our houses for decades and centuries and a millennia. that has never been tied to the rise in deadly blood clots, but there have been deadly injections that cause blood clots as a known side effect forced into the bloodstream of people all around the world. And it was done with meaning. Pursuit of meaning. Do you remember the vast propaganda machine that went out and said, no one is safe until everyone is safe? I could play you a 14-minute video of politicians and news hosts and guests on news programs and former politicians and entertainment personalities and sports personalities and kids on shows like Sesame Street saying verbatim, remember, no one is safe until everyone is safe. 14 minutes of meaning. That's a brilliant statement. No one is safe until everyone is safe. Can everyone ever be safe? No. Well, then, you're pursuing something like the wind. You cannot hold it in your hand. On the topic of meaning and Fauci and the con of the COVID response, and in fact, the COVID flu itself, which was in all likelihood something you paid to create, Tony Fauci has told a House COVID panel that he, the great man, science itself, you remember he said that, he is science itself. The great man said he is not convinced kids suffered learning loss due to the so-called pandemic school closures. I say so-called because it wasn't a pandemic. The World Health Organization changed the rules so that something that didn't have any deaths can now be called a pandemic. Did you know that? The World Economic Forum is telling us disease X is on the way. No doubt will be a pandemic. Oh, and by the way, the World Health Organization says it doesn't even need to involve a single death to be a pandemic. So Tony Fauci is not convinced that kids not going to school face learning disruptions. That's hard to believe because he doesn't really believe it, does he? I don't want to bear false witness. I really, truly don't. I want to be careful. That man has how many degrees? Let's just do a simple thought experiment. As Tony Fauci left high school and started to go into college, he wasn't allowed to attend the first 4 years of school. Couldn't go. How were his second 4 years? Non-existent, couldn't get in. It's a farce to say he's not convinced of this. He also admitted something that I have been reporting for, well, since the lockdowns began. It's always important to remember there were no lockdowns. There were none. There were selective closures of things, but there were no lockdowns. That which sustained life was attacked. That which hurt life was sponsored and pushed. Case in point, abortion clinics open, gyms shut down, churches shut down, casinos and strip clubs open. Tony Fauci's admitted something I've been talking about since those steps began, and that was that the 6-foot social distancing rule was based on nothing. It just, he said, sort of came up. Remember, this is a gentleman who has told us that he has followed the religion of the science. Not the scientific process, not making predictions and then trying to validate them after having created a thesis, nothing like that. No, he followed the science. That is the religion of the scientists that gives the scientists their meaning. Tony Fauci standing in front of the Lord Jesus, face to face. The Lord Jesus says, Tony, what was the meaning of your life?
Well, I sold a lot of pharmaceutical products through government, and I was the science.
You were the science.
I don't know how my meeting with Jesus will go. I don't know if that's the way it works. It's imagining.
I don't want to pretend that this is scripturally based. It's imagining, like a fictional approach to this, just knowing that we will be judged. Or we have been. So Fauci admits that the 6-foot social distancing rule just popped up out of nowhere. I can actually trace it back, by the way, to a paper written by, I think she was a 9th grader. She used a simple computer simulation to imagine that social distancing could stop the spread of disease. And then she gave it to her father, or he looked at it. He worked in government, and somehow it made it in this myth. The standing 6 foot from someone will stop the disease from circulating. Oh, Just by the way, on the topic of meaning, Pfizer, the most fined company in the history of pharmaceutical companies, has paid $43 billion for a cancer drug maker. Now, this is interesting because since the installation of the COVID shots, the modified RNA injections into the bodies of people, cancers have gone nuts, particularly what are called turbo cancers. They appear and then they take you down all too often. We know that the COVID shots contain human DNA. We know that that DNA causes the body to make junk proteins. We know that junk proteins are often cancer. We know that the COVID shots turn off, I think it's the TG and T4 cells within our body, which identify cancers and stop them. It turns them off. So we know all of that. And Pfizer has stepped up to say, we're going to buy a drug maker for $43 billion. Oh, by the way, want to know what the sales are for that company? $2.2 billion. $2.2 billion. Invent the problem, charge for the cure. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling from the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There's a woman I know who is facing cancer. She's facing it like an absolute champion. She is a champion. She happens to be a champion athlete. And the most beautiful thing happened. Most beautiful. When she began facing this challenge, she took it on with absolutely characteristic, refused to be broken attitude. And in fact, zeal. Zeal. I cannot wait to face this challenge. I'm excited to see what I can do. I will not let this thing take me down easy if it takes me down at all. It's a serious cancer. And it's no longer in just one place in her body. And she's still excited for the challenge. I saw her in the gym training. I know. We're not, when we're going through those treatments, we're not supposed to be around other people and we're supposed to be wheelchair ridden and in beds. Nope. She refuses. And her doctors have cleared her on this. The beautiful thing that happened was I was there in my arm brace. I have a silly little shoulder surgery. Silly in comparison to what she's going through. And she saw that I was back in working out, trying to do my best. So she came over to give me the fist bump, the international gym greeting between men and women. And she asked how I was doing. I said, don't be silly. I'm fine. How are you? You know what she asked me to do? Pray. First time I offered that to her, I sensed discomfort. Isn't God magnificent in those ways? That's everything he can give us sometimes is not enough to bring us to his side. In my case, God tried rescuing me from poverty, protecting me from being kidnapped. No, I was kidnapped. I think I've told you this story at gunpoint. Offering me great wealth at Microsoft. Some of which I accepted, the other which my pride tossed away and I never did get. Offering to protect my family and then doing it. And still, I wasn't quite ready to fully take the knee to Lord and say, I serve you. So I'm so thrilled that my friend appears to be on the way to that. And I do believe she'll beat cancer. In fact, I'll tell you, my sister was a oncology nurse at Johns Hopkins University. And when we wrap the show up today, I'll share with you some observations my sister had about knowing within seconds if someone was likely to survive cancer or not. She had been put in the position of having to tell people, you have cancer. And I will tell you, some of the responses and the ones that my sister said indicated these people were going to live. We'll get to that. We'll also get to the Tower of Babbling. Did you see that there was another insurrection? I don't want to alarm you or cause you concern, but yes, another insurrection. Not on a federal basis, thank goodness. But on a local basis, pro-Hamas insurrectionists breached the Colorado state capitol. That's the sounds of people interrupting an official government proceeding. And I was told, and so were you, that that is in fact an insurrection. We either have in our country laws and mores, or we don't. If laws are not equally applied, they're not laws, they're suggestions. And if they're suggestions, they need not be followed. After all, it's just a suggestion. And we also have either a fabric on which we can all count, a quilt that covers all of us, or some of us are left out. The devil loves to use search for meaning for ill. You may have heard the top of the hour news today on AFR, which is such a blessing to have news as news, not opinion. Isn't that a blessing? You may have heard at the top of the hour news that many of the people, young people who are chanting from the river to the sea, if you go to them and say, which river? They say, the Hudson River in New York City or the Columbia River in Washington State. No, it's not. That's not the river that they're referring to when they're talking about pushing Jewish people into the sea. No. They're chanting things and they're unaware of the meaning. And I think of the Apostle Paul, my favorite perhaps moment of the Apostle Paul, he was a little sarcastic. Gentlemen of Athens, I see that you are a very religious people. In fact, now just walking through your marketplace, I saw an idol to an unknown God. Just covering your bases, the search for meaning, the delusions and illusions Satan uses to have people believe they have meaning, such as the people who are taking over the Colorado State House, and they don't understand they're serving a terrorist group. Yes, there are people in the region that the world calls Palestine. Yes, they are oppressed. Yes, they deserve our love. Yes, they deserve our charity because they probably cannot work. But Hamas deserves none of that. On this program, we like to thank God often, regularly, as often as I remember to do, allow myself to remember. We specifically, in this last segment, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
Now, you know it's serious when you say world. These are three sound clips that sort of prove the point that God places the supposedly wise people way up there with their human wisdom so we can sit down here, the small people, amazed at their wisdom, as if to distract us from God as the source of actual wisdom. The DEI cult, which I call diversion, exclusion, and insanity, that cult has what they call white people scrawling words on their faces and making struggle session videos like this.
What do you mean we're lucky to be white?
It's not luck, it's privilege.
We're privileged that people see us, not a color.
Privilege that we don't get stared at when we walk into the room.
Privilege that we don't get followed by security when we go shopping.
Or pulled over when we're in the wrong neighborhood.
We're privileged because society was set up for us, and our silence keeps it in place.
We're privileged, and that's unfair.
So in that's a video, and people have actually scrawled on their faces in black ink the words privilege. Oh, incidentally, when I lived in the ghetto, we're not supposed to say that, but that's absolutely what it was, I was once pulled over for being white driving while white. The officer told me. He pulled me over and came up with driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, please. Yes, officer, here you are. What are you doing here in this neighborhood? I live here. He said, black officer. I said, no, you don't. I said, look at my ID again. You live here? I know why he was pulling me over. I know, because people went through there shopping for drugs, and I wasn't that offended. In fact, I was kind of amused. Clip number two in today's Tower Babbling. On CNN, Jonathan Avlon fawns over Biden's speeches and claims he's fighting white supremacy.
It was an, I think, a relatively renewal of an old idea that we've debated in the United States, often with violence, unfortunately, which is the resistance that exists to a multiracial democracy. That characterized the run-up to the Civil War, certainly, but especially Reconstruction, and the violence around overturning Jim Crow. And we saw it at Mother Emanuel that day, and we see it in more benign and politicized forms to this day. And I think that's what Joe Biden, President Biden, was speaking to. In many ways, it's a companion to his speech at Valley Forge just a few days ago, kicking off his campaign, where he said, this is about defending democracy. I think this puts a finer point on it. One of the great obstacles to the fulfillment of democracy's ideal in the United States is white supremacy, is white nationalism, is in some cases Christian nationalism when it is combined with a racial animus, as we've seen too many times. And sometimes you've got to listen carefully to hear those strains. Yeah. But if you know your history, if you're willing to confront it clearly, then all becomes more evident.
Yes, you must listen very, very carefully and insanely carefully to find a hint that the top problem facing America is white supremacy. In fact, it's not in the top 1,000. Even if you ask black voters, it's not there. Last clip in today's Tower of Babbling, and hey, it's a theme. Look at this, a theme within a theme. How Satan uses the pursuit of good to not be racist, to in fact love all the way God does, is a virtue. And so Satan takes it and twists it, turns it into racism. This video asking black people in Harlem if they have ID will forever be one of the best reactions to the voter ID is racist nonsense.
Do you have ID normally? You carry ID around?
Yes, I have state ID.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody who, any black person who doesn't carry ID?
No. Everyone that I know has an ID. Why would they think we don't have ID?
That's a lie. Why would they say that?
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so like we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. Like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with, an ID.
Do you know any black adult who does not have ID?
No, I don't.
Is it a weird thing to even say that?
Yes, it is.
What is this, some type of trick candy canvas?
I know, there? Right? That's the only thing I brought with me.
Those are legit IDs. I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
Is that what does that say to you?
I know it's that, on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is around you?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
You know how to get there?
Yeah.
Would you have a problem getting there if you had to get there?
No.
I know these sound like silly questions. You know how to get the DMV?
Of course.
You know where it is?
Yes.
You can get there?
Uh-huh.
No problem.
No problem.
Just checking.
Okay.
And I also heard a lot that black people, especially poor black people, have no access to the internet, can't figure out how to use the internet.
That's just.
All right, let's wrap that up right now. That proves the point. Everything we've been talking about, right? Symptoms. We can't have voter ID because black people can't figure out how to get ID. Satan takes a search for meaning, search for compassion, twists it because that's all he can do. He cannot create, he cannot love, he cannot experience charity. He can distract, distort, and twist. I forgot the other one. Distract, distort, and depress. See, I told you, when I get my seasonal allergies, my brain slows down. And yet I can tell you that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
My sister, as I mentioned earlier, as we wrap up the show with a personal observation, was an oncology nurse at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. Very proud of my sister. She is a brilliant, loving, compassionate, loyal, funny woman. She doesn't yet know the Lord, but man, God is working through me. Thank God he's taken over because I haven't been successful. And just recently, in a few conversations, my sister has proactively asked me questions about the Bible. Phenomenal. The first time she did that, I wanted to jump up and celebrate, and instead, I let the Lord settle me. So she was a oncology nurse at the university, or pardon me, at Johns Hopkins University. And one of her assignments was to tell people they had deadly cancer. So she had to be in a room with them and say, "We have received the results of your test. They are not positive. Well, they're positive for cancer, but they're not good. We're concerned. You do have cancer in your kidneys or your lungs or both." And the first question out of most people's mouths is, "How long do I have?" When people asked that question, it was my sister's sense that they were done, that they were going to die, because they were asking the medical profession, "How shall I plan to roll up my life? How long do I have until that happens?" Other people would say this, "Okay, understood. What's the plan?" They had a good chance of living. "What's the plan? What do I need to do? What do you need to do? Let's put a team together." They had a great chance of living. The other people said, "I knew it. I was right. Okay, I have some ideas I want to share with you. I've been doing research on how to deal with this. Can I run these by you?" They were 80% chance to live. Other people, and this is from my sister, who is now, I would say, agnostic. Before I would have said atheist. There were people who, upon getting that news, would pray. And when they talked about the prognosis, "How serious is it if I don't turn this around? When do you guys think I might die?" Different terms. Not "how long do I have?" "When do you think I might die?" And they would tell her. She would tell them. And people would say, "Good thing God makes that decision." My sister shared with me that she always admired that, even as an agnostic, and they were about 95% to live. Invoking the name of God, He does make the decisions, and He is the meaning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God says you and I can speak again. May His peace, that surpasses all understanding, rest upon you and your family. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.